And the, what we were saying this morning is that there has always been the charge to the church to get with the times. Get with the times. But what we are saying is that the times are going downward. And it's trending downward. And it's important that the church would not adjust to that trend. It's important that the individual believer would not adjust to the trend, which is pulling things down, right? We've gone from very clear definition of things to not being able to divine anything, right? And I know we have some examples that pop into our mind currently, recently, that we would think of, but it's everything, right? We need God, right? And if we are left to ourselves, we will follow the downward slope. But thank God he came. Christ came into the world, and he put a mark in the middle of that downward slope, and he said, you don't have to do that. There's another way, and that's the cross. Right? He put the cross right there in time. He placed the cross right on the timeline, didn't he? What year was it? 33. Right? He placed it right in the middle of this slide, then moving away from God and in general idea. But he placed this thing in time and said, no, this is a different way. Don't adjust to the world, but instead adjust to Christ. And in adjusting to Christ, you will find a better way. So here, I was thinking that we are always adjusting to things. Right? We're adjusting to the sun being out for the first time in 3 months. It's amazing. Right? The sun is out. Hallelujah. Doesn't it feel good? We're adjusting to the sun and the heat, right? And our New England skin, it will be sizzling soon. Right? But then in a couple days, it's going to be 80-something degrees, and people are going to say, ah, what the heck? It's too hot. Right? Like, we are constantly adjusting, right? And we are always ready to complain about the adjustment that is being made. The pollen. Is anybody adjusting to the pollen? Right? Allergies. You wake up, you're like, oh, no, is it COVID? Oh, no, I think it's pollen, right? Because everything is covered in yellow. Right? That could have something to do with my inability to breathe clearly. Right? We're adjusting to it physically. Right? We're adjusting to it. We're adjusting to the price of things. Go to the price of beef. How many people are eating steak these days? Right? Ooh, living large. Right? No, right? We're adjusting to the prices of things. Gas, oil. Like we're adjusting to it. It's always moving, and we have to adjust to it. Those are adjustments that we are always making, and we're familiar with it. I was thinking of a chiropractor. Have you ever gone to a chiropractor? You get an adjustment, right? All right, those. How many feel good? You walk out of there, and you're like, oh, man, I didn't know my legs. Like I've been walking like this, right? Like I've been crooked. Why do we need to be adjusted? Because we are functioning on a bad premise. Right? The physical body, we have a framework, the skeleton, it's amazing, isn't it? God designed it, and the ligaments and the muscles all connect. There's tension and everything. And when it's all in order, it works beautifully. But something happens, right? Like I hurt my knee, so I start limping. And then the premise is off. And then before you know it, my hip hurts, then my back hurts, and then I can't throw anything, and for some reason my neck is crooked, and it hurts when I brush my teeth, right? Like, why is this happening? Like, there is this, as I continue to operate on a bad premise, things fall apart. Right? Like a degrading of it. Why? It could be there's nothing wrong with your neck, but your neck is not free to function the way it's supposed to function because it's operating around a bad premise, right? So we go to the chiropractor, we get a little adjustment, and then we walk out, we're 2 inches taller, and we feel good. Right? We need that kind of adjustment, don't we? That we live in a world and we consume information. Robert and I were talking right before service. He said, he expressed something to me. I said, oh, good thing, this is the message. Right? We live in a world, we are consuming so much information. And it's like the world is moving so fast. And the way that we understand things is moving so fast. The way that we get information is moving so fast. Right? You can't just turn on the news and watch Dan Rather for a half hour and feel like you're informed in the world. Right? There is like a 24-hour news cycle that they have to fill, and there is agenda, and the storylines are there, and the narrative is being told. So we are like moving in this current, and we're constantly adjusting to it. What can I trust? What can I not trust? What is real? What is not real? What is even happening? I don't even know. Is that in a studio somewhere? I don't even know. I watched this news, Euro News, because I was wondering what was happening in Ukraine, and I thought maybe a European news outlet would have a little better info. And they have this whole section on this segment about misinformation. And I said, oh, this is interesting. And this guy goes in, and he's called The Cube, and he's got all these social media platforms, and he says, okay, this was out today. This film was out today, or this clip was out on social media, made its round on Twitter, and this is what they are saying that it is. They are saying that this is, the Ukrainians are doing this. But then he said, but actually this video is from 3 years ago, and it's a movie set. And these things are not in Ukraine, but it is being portrayed as some outrage that is happening in Ukraine. Right? Then there was the story about the ghost of Kyiv. Had anyone heard about that? The fighter pilot that was shooting down Russian pilots all over the place. It was like in the first week of the war. He was like, he knocked out five Russian jets in a week or something like that. And they had video of it happening, and it went all across the internet. And then what happened? Actually, that was the video of a flight simulator. It wasn't even real life, let alone a person, a Ukrainian. And they were like, actually, we don't even know if five Russian jets went down this week. Right? So here we are then consuming this information, and now we are adjusting to it being real or being fake. Right? And now, and I'm not getting into that, trust me, I'm just putting the example out there. So that's the world we live in. This can cause a lot of anxiety. This can cause fear. This can cause anger, can it? Outrage. Oh my gosh, the outrage we see in the world today. People are so ready to be outraged. It's going to be 83 degrees out in a couple of days. You're going to see outrage. Right? How dare I have to get the air conditioner? How dare you? Now we're supposed to be 70, blah, 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 whatever. We're outraged about anything. About anything. How is it working? How are we doing? Right? It's not doing what we need. As an individual in your personal life, if you are this way, how do you feel? Right? As somebody's stomach grumbling, somebody's hungry. Right? Not a lot of joy, right? And it could even be that I get to the point that my faith is like, where is it? Where is the joy of my salvation? Where is love for people? Where is the mission? Where is the priority? What are we doing? I'm so distracted by the stuff, and I am adjusting downward, and I'm getting sucked into like the little vortex. You felt it? You're like, where is Jesus? You're like, well, Jesus is in Philadelphia. What? Right? Like, what? There are these stories. What are we talking about? We need to adjust upward to God. He is so faithful. He is so patient. He is so kind. And he sees us all down here running around like crazy. And then he is there just calling us gently. Come unto me. Come unto me. And we're saying, but you're not down here where we are. And he says, no. No. I'm not. But you're welcome to come up here where I am. Where truth is. Where there is truth is not falling in the street, but instead truth is elevated. Truth is recognized, and truth makes a difference in my life. And he's saying, come up here, let's go. And so as believers, let's be thinking that way. In Philippians chapter 3, we see Paul's testimony. He gives his testimony a few times, and it's a very powerful one. He's the man. Paul is the man. In the world, in the natural world, in the religion that he was the man. If you were going to say, this is the model citizen, it is the Apostle Paul, or Saul, right? Saul of Tarsus. He was the man. His education, prime time, from Gamaliel, right? He was in Harvard. He was there. He was at the best education. He's from the tribe of Benjamin, strong Israelite, a Hebrew of Hebrews. Like, he was the embodiment of what you were supposed to be. But he says, in verse 7 that these things were gain to me. He's not dismissing them there, but he's saying, no, these were gain to me. This is adjusting to these things is what I thought was life was all about. This was my pursuit. This was my goal. I wanted it and I got it. But then I learned Christ. And when I learned Christ, I found that I would rather be adjusted to Christ than to have these things. And in that revelation or in that reality, he says, these things I have counted loss for Christ. Yet, indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. All things, right? Rubbish is a kind word there. It's literally, it's poop. He's like, I consider those things what you flush. Like, I don't even, like, I consider them as something that I wouldn't even want in my house, right? I can't wait to get rid of it, actually, that these things I dismiss to gain Christ. Right? So, yet indeed, I count all these things lost for the excellence of Christ and the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish, that I might gain Christ and be found in him, and not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I might know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. So he's saying, this is my life now, that I might be found in him. We look at success, we look at achievement, we look at all of the measurements that we have, and we can say, no, that's not it, but to be found in Christ. In verse 10, that I might know him, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. What is happening in the world? We can say there are powers moving and doing all kinds of things, but then there is the power of his resurrection. And I want to be adjusted to the power of his resurrection. Because there, even death doesn't have a say. Because there, sin is overcome. Because there is victory in every single way. And there, I have an identity in a place that is in heaven. And Paul is saying, adjust to that. Know him. Don't know this stuff. Like, yeah, we live here. Yes, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. We are in the world. We have our businesses. We have our families. We have school. We have our prayers and our pursuits and all of that stuff. Yes, but I'm resting up here and I am adjusting my life to the reality of God, the reality of Christ, and the truth of the resurrection. Paul is saying here, verse 12, not that I have already attained. Isn't that good? This is Paul. This is the Apostle Paul. If anybody has attained anything, it's Paul. But he's saying, no, listen, I don't even know. Right? Isn't that great? It's interesting in the world's religions, the prizes are always something temporal, aren't they? Like even the idea of heaven is like something that could be done here on earth. And if that is the hope of my religion, then I am coming short. But Paul is saying, I haven't attained, but actually I have adjusted myself to God, and so much so that even as far as I've come in my walk of faith, and as much as I have known, as much as I have written, I haven't gained. Like, I haven't attained it. I haven't reached the end. And in this adjustment to God, there is no end. But in this adjustment to the earth, or to the natural things, there is an end. There is a depression. Could be, right? That if I make my pursuit down here, when I don't have enough to go the next step, right? Like the chase. I got a car, I need a better car. I need a faster car. I need a newer car. I got a boat. I need a better boat. I got a wife. I need a better wife. Right? And like this thing just like goes this way. And I know as I say it in as a joke, but this is the way it is. Why do you think it is that relationships are just laid by the wayside? I was at the doctor today, and the woman was checking me in, just the physical, and she's getting my info. Where do you work? At Greater Grace Christian Fellowship. Oh, she's like, okay. She goes, what do you do there? And I said, well, I'm the pastor. And she's like, hallelujah. We had this like little rap session right there. And I said, how long have you? She said, are you married? I said, yes, happily married. And she goes, oh my gosh, right? And I said, how long have you been married? She said, I've been married 31 years. I said, that is incredible. I stood up and I started clapping. I said, that's fantastic. That's incredible. Isn't it? Like that is an awesome thing. Because the world we live in, like the value of it is only there. Only what I can get back. Only what I get out of it. And once I stop getting, then I'm done. Right? It's a consumer thing. But there is a beauty that we fight through and we get over and we seek God in these things, right? So I'm just saying, okay, over here the cycle goes. We are familiar with it. And I could end up in a depression, in a complete discouragement, saying, I thought this is what it was all about. I did the thing. I did everything I was supposed to do. Why do I have emptiness? Why is there emptiness? Drugs will lead me this way, won't they? I pursue. Ooh, don't answer. That means you did it. No, I'm just kidding. That my testimony is that way. I looked into a lot of things, trying to find some kind of excitement, right? And there was excitement. There was some wild things, but then what? In the end, what? Emptiness, right? Depression. Okay, now we're getting on some rants. But, okay, ecstasy, right? Ecstasy was a big drug when I was in high school. I don't know if maybe it still is going. I don't know. But I had friends who took so much of it that they are just completely flat. Right? They can be like emotionally drained. They have no happiness in their life. Like the serotonin was so expressed and they had no, then beep, like they're just like, hello, in pursuit of what? In this downward adjustment, and the devil is there just saying, bravo, bravo, bravo. I can help you with that, right? And he's encouraging this. Okay, let's get off the negative. But Paul is saying otherwise. Now we can verse 12 through 21. This is the message. That was the warm up. All right. Not that I have attained anything or am ready, already perfected, but, no, I'm not perfect. I haven't attained, but I'll tell you what I am doing. I'm going to press on. I'm going to press on until I lay hold of him. And we say, where will you lay hold of him? I don't know, but I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep adjusting upward. I'm going to keep seeking him. I'm going to keep pursuing him. Because there is a reality there that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I haven't apprehended, but one thing I do. Right? Remember this verse, memory verse, right? But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Seems like two, Paul, but that's okay. We'll talk about that in heaven. All right. One thing, I'm doing one thing. I'm going to forget the things that are behind, and that I'm going to forget the things that trend downward, and I am going to adjust to him. And I am gonna reach forward. I'm gonna press on to those things which are ahead. I love that. That reaching forward is something that we do. Right? We press forward. We press towards, not just forward in an abstract idea, but towards someone, towards Christ. I am pursuing Christ. And I go after him. I press forward. And and it's amazing in this pursuit of Christ. He is not taking any breaks. Like Jesus isn't just taking a rest, but he is there and he is always ready for me. So pursue him. In this pursuit, the natural things can't keep up. As I pursue Christ, there could be a lot of things that are calling for my attention, right? Remember us? You get the call from the high school buddies. Hey, Ray, let's go. We'll do what we used to do. You were a lot more fun when, right? And like all these things could come in. And I could easily say, oh yeah, it sounds fun. No, keep up. If you want to be with me, let's go. I'm pressing forward. And you can come with me. You're welcome to. I caddied in a golf tournament once, a senior PGA Tour event. And I caddied for a guy named Larry Ziegler. And he didn't do well. But I was in a group with Tom Watson. And I don't know if you know, if you paid attention to golf in the past like 50 years, Tom Watson is very, very good player, right? Very good player. And then also the other character in the group was Lee Trevino, right? Who is just a character, right? So I'm caddying with these guys, and Tom Watson, and these guys were just happy to be playing, right? They're having fun out there. They're talking it up. Lee Trevino's an entertainer. He's talking to the crowd, and he's doing all this stuff. And Tom Watson's just playing, and he's like 50 yards ahead of them. And I was trying to keep up with Tom Watson because I wanted to watch him play. He was unbelievable. Unbelievable. 7 under in the first day. It was incredible, right? But at one point, the guys I was caddying for, they said, hey, Tom, wait up. We want to talk. And he just said, let's go. He did not slow down. He didn't slow down, right? But instead, he said, if you guys want to talk to me, you need to adjust to my pace. You need to adjust to my seriousness. I'm not going to adjust to you guys being clowns. And believe it or not, Tom Watson almost won, and Lee Trevino and Larry Ziegler were the two last names in the field, right? And that's it. I love that picture. Is that, that's it. I want to pursue Christ. And we are this way, that we are pursuing Christ. And it could be that there are people in our lives that are saying, hey, remember us. Come on back. And we say, hey, come with me. Come with me. I'm going to pursue Christ. And we can have a lot here pursuing Christ. So when we move, when we pursue Him, there are a lot of things that maybe won't keep up. Addiction can't keep up. Discouragement can't keep up. Insecurity can't keep up, right? As we pursue Christ. So pursue Him. But in this pursuit is not settling. Right? Don't settle in your faith. Don't settle to just being happy or saved. Right? That's great. Hallelujah. Amen. I love it. Right? Don't settle to just say, okay, I found a church. That's great. I love it. I love that you're here. But pursue Christ. Right? Jesus is more than happy to be with you on Monday morning also, just as much as Sunday morning. Be there with Him. Be with Him. We talk about the body of Christ. We talk about the importance of being together. I love it, right? Church should be full. Hallelujah. But also, don't let your Christianity just become events at the church, but that your pursuit of Christ would be your faith. And in pursuing Him, you would see big things happening in your own heart. And you're going to say, oh my gosh, there are things that cannot keep up with me because I am pursuing Christ. And where I pursue Him, there is eternal things happening. And the natural things can't keep up. We could adjust to comfort, couldn't we? Comfort, we could adjust to convenience. We could adjust to material need or natural need. Maybe in during COVID, we adjusted to operating a certain way. But now we could adjust out of it as far as our faith. And say, I'm going to get up, I'm going to go, I'm going to move in this way. Paul is saying here in Philippians chapter 3 that he says in verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call. There it is, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's what it is, the upward call, where Christ is saying, come away with me, come up here. Like in the Song of Solomon, come away with me, my love, my dove, my undefiled. That He speaks to us that way. Truth is up here, who we really are. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature. How many are mature here? Okay, good. Nobody. Let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal this to you. That's a great one, isn't it? If you want to doubt it, that's fine. But be ready for God to reveal it to you. That God will speak to you. And He is more than willing. God is not afraid of your doubt. God is not afraid of your laziness. God is not afraid of your settling in. But if you really want to know, he will tell you. And he'll say, get up and seek me. And we say, yeah, but it's comfortable. He said, that's fine. You want to be comfortable, you're free to be comfortable. But if you want to have an adventure of faith, then get up and seek me. In your heart, in your meditation. Okay, verse 16. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, and let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example. Isn't that great? We have an example. People, there are people that we can look up to and say, I want to follow God. I want to have a life like that. Not that I'm copying or mimicking their life, but I could be inspired by their faith. That's what Hebrews chapter 11 is all about. That's what discipleship is all about. Find discipleship. And then he says, find a good pattern. Because, verse 18, many walk of whom I have told you, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. There are a lot of bad examples. And what does it mean to be an enemy of the cross of Christ? Basically, you're adjusting downward. You're adjusting downward into the natural. There could be Christians, right, that are enemies of the cross of Christ. Enemies of transformation. They say, you are who you are. No. We are in Christ. I am a new creation in Christ. There is hope. Right? So adjust that way and pull people up with you. Their end is destruction, verse 19. Their God is their belly. There you go. Your God is your belly. You're firmly anchored in the dust. And that's it. And whose glory is in their shame? Who set their mind on earthly things? There you go. Earthly things adjusted downward. He's saying we have an upward call, and don't be distracted by earthly things. Adjust to a upward call, not earthly things. And here we go. Here is the big point, the big finish, all right? Adjust to this reality. For our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. Mine is in the United States of America. Might be a surprise to some of you, but I am a U.S. citizen. We have our citizenships, right? Portugal, Brazil, Jamaica, whatever, Maine, the country of Maine, they have their own citizenship. There are these, we have them, yes, we are, but there is a greater truth that I am a citizen of heaven. I want to adjust my whole reality to that truth that I am a citizen of heaven. I want to be heavenly minded. I want to be pursuing Christ in eternal things. Because there are a lot of things in my natural citizenship, there are all kinds of things to be grumpy about and to be discouraged about. But there is also the great truth that I am a citizen of heaven. For our citizenship is in heaven. And what I love this next verse and a half. From which we also eagerly wait for the Savior. Okay, I am a citizen of heaven. That is where I'm living. I'm living out of heaven. But also, out of heaven one day will come Christ. He is coming. He is there. I am seated with him there in reality. But one day he will come here. He will appear. And oh my God, a glorious day that will be. And it says that we eagerly wait. Right? Have you eagerly waited for something? Christmas morning, just standing there at 5 a.m., just staring at the presents. Oh my gosh, when are my parents going to wake up? Right? Oh my God, eagerly waiting. Eagerly waiting. Just staring and thinking, oh my gosh, right? Eagerly, I'm so excited about it. Not anxiously, but eagerly. Like a good anxious, right? Like, come on, I just want it to be. Come on, it's going to be amazing. He's going to show up in the clouds. What? And there will be a sound nobody's ever heard, and then all of a sudden things are going to change. Who will, right? Christ will appear. We eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, just in case you have any question about who that is, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body. Okay? He will transform. The word transform means changing what is there. Lowly body, our lowly body, yes, like we are lowly, yes. But it means our bodies that have been humbled by sin. Right now we are We are believers, we are citizens in heaven, but we are operating in this body with an old sin nature, and we have been humbled, and like the lower things are the result of the sin working, right? And we are living in it and we are part of it, but He will transform our lowly bodies that right now are acclimated and that are adjusted to the dust and adjusted to everything that's happening here. And our bodies, the way that they are right now, cannot handle glory. Isn't that crazy to think? But guess what? When He comes, He will transform our lowly bodies so that it will be able to perceive and to take in eternity. And we will be able to fellowship in glory, and we will be able to see God. Our lowly body, the way it is right now, we are looking in the dust and we can't see. We can't see glory. We can't perceive God. But there is a tug in our heart that is saying, no, pursue it. It is your reality. You are a citizen of heaven. Pursue it. Because one day you will be transformed. Your body will be changed like that. And you will be able to see reality. You will be able to see truth. Your hope will be sight. Your faith will be complete. And you will be fellowshipping in the love of God for eternity. What a motivator, huh? What an adjustment that is. Where He says that to us and we say, oh my gosh, yes, I want to be looking that way. I want to be adjusting to that. Because like we read in Peter, he says, this whole thing's going up in smoke. Like it's going, it's going to be gone. What are you adjusted to? Are you adjusted to what will be consumed? Or are you adjusted to what will ever be? He says, He will transform your lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body. What does that mean? I don't know. Can't wait to find out though. Right? It will be conformed. I will be made like His body. Meaning like the heavens. I will be able to inhabit heaven. I will be in fellowship with Him. We will see the spiritual world the way that He understands it. And praise will always be flowing out of us. According to the working which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. Okay. This is according to His work. It's not a chance. It's not like He comes down here and He's like, all right, I got one more option. Right? We'll see if this one works. Right? No. But He's coming. He is able to subdue all things to Himself. All things to Himself. We read it in Romans 8 that all creation is saying, the trees are waving their arms, are saying, this isn't it. I know there is something greater. All of creation is crying, saying we are incomplete and we want to be fulfilled. And Christ will come and He will subdue all things to Himself, and all things will say, this is the way it's supposed to be. Right? He will readjust all things to Himself. So He's given us as people the opportunity and the privilege and the joy to now in time adjust to eternity. So let's be doing that. And we do it by pursuing Him, seeking Him. And as we do it, people will be with us. Right? Isn't it, I mean, people want to be a part of something that's happening. We see that. Right? Ready to jump on anything. But when we are moving in a direction by faith, man, people will follow. So we don't even have to think about it. We just do it. Right? Pursue Christ, seek Him, adjust upward, and anticipate that final change is going to happen. Amen? Amen. Lord, thank You for giving us this word. Thank You for telling us to look for You, to seek You, to pursue You, Lord. And help us, strengthen us, encourage us. Lord, refine us as we do this. In Jesus' name, amen.